Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's message on the second epistle of John concerning the importance of the truth. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey spoke about how John gave Christians a greeting that was rooted in the truth. Now he will speak of, secondly, an exhortation to walk in the truth, and thirdly, a warning not to depart from the truth. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear the truth and a heart to believe the truth.
Now John goes on to beseech them, our second thought, to walk in the truth. And in verse 4, he provides us with a word of commendation. Notice that. I rejoice greatly. Verses 5 and 6, he beseeches us to walk in the truth as a word of exhortation. Look at verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father to do so. John says, this is what gives me joy, to see my children walk in the truth. Now, is he speaking just of that one elect lady's children? Possibly. But more likely speaking of that whole local body or his own local church. He delights to see not just the children, the young children in the church walking in the truth, but by children we know John means the whole congregation, young and old. He delights to see believers walking in the truth. That's what gives joy to his pastoral heart. Well, that gives joy to any true pastor's heart, doesn't it? It's not bigger membership roles or new buildings that bring joy to the heart of a true minister, so much as it is to know that those to whom he ministers are walking in the truth and loving the truth and proclaiming the truth to their neighbor. That's what gives joy. A minister's real wages are when he sees his own people, whom John calls his dear children, when he sees his own people being conformed to the image of Christ and walking in the ways of the Word of God, then a minister, an office bearer, rejoices to see his children walk in the truth. But that's true of a parent as well. John could say that of his own flesh and blood children, no doubt. He had them. As you can say, if you're a true believer and you have children, you know that joy if you see your children walk in truth. There's a joy that's absolutely unspeakable. And that's why when we baptize our children, we know we can't force their feet to go in the way of truth. And yet, we must train them. We must do all we can to the utmost of our power, praying that God will bless it and God will sanction it and God will own it. And we must be looking for it, looking to see our children walk in the truth. Well, John goes on then with his word of exhortation, verses 5 and 6. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is his commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. There we have it again. Walking in the truth means loving one another in obedience to the Word of God. Love is the summary of the law. So John says here, this is not a new commandment, it's an old commandment, and yet it's new. We saw that back in 1 John 2, 7 to 8. Remember that. He said it's old because Jesus gave that commandment. If you would love me, keep my commandments. It's old because the Old Testament gave that commandment, love one another, back in Leviticus. It's old because it flows from the heart of God from all eternity, And yet it's imbued with new content because Jesus has exemplified what it means to the full for us in His life, His death, and His resurrection. And so John here again beseeches them. Remember that this comes from the very lips and the very life of the Savior Himself. I beseech you to walk in this New Testament truth, to walk as Jesus walked, to walk in love with one another, to walk as a family in fellowship with one another, to walk in the ways of that Christ who gave Himself for us and who gives His truth to us. Love one another. Love, love, love each other, John keeps saying, in all three epistles. And that love will be a testimony that you cherish the truth. You see, to love each other truly is to cherish one another as God's image bearer. It is to cherish salvation in one another. It is to seek what is best for each other according to the will of God. To love each other is to act toward one another as God commands us to act. And that involves caring listening. It involves tender helping. It involves earnest praying. It involves generous giving. It involves sacrificial serving. It involves thoughtful kindness. John says, if you love the truth, this is the way you will act to your fellow believer. You will love him. You will share with him similar views and similar feelings and similar conflicts and similar interests and similar fears and similar hopes. You will be so much alike because you're bound by the truth, and you will then love one another out of that truth. In fact, John says, this is the mark of those who are the children of God. And these aren't just John's words. These are Jesus' words. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments and you will love one another. So John is saying here in this beseeching, this earnest pleading he has with this local church or this local family, to profess the truth and not to walk in love is a blatant contradiction. I beseech thee, walk in truth and love. Dear congregation, I beseech you this morning to walk in truth and in love. Love one another. Love one another. In the truth. In the Lord Jesus. Every believer in this sanctuary this morning has so much more in common than you have differences. And John advises you, yes, he beseeches you, show that commonality. Show that love. Reach out in love one to another. Now in the last section of this short epistle, John moves from beseeching to warning. Look at that in verses 7 through 11. He warns them not to depart from the truth. And he does four or five things here. First of all, in verse 7, he explains why we need to walk in the truth. Verse 7, why we need to walk in the truth. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So what John is saying is, the reason we have to walk in the truth is because there's going to be a lot of forces out there that are going to try to steer us away from the path of truth. Forces even from within the church, but especially forces without the church. That's true in parenting as well, isn't it? There's going to be so many, many forces coming up against Justin and Brianna to try to get them to walk contrary to the truth, to abandon truth, to depart from truth. It is absolutely critical, parents, that you walk in the truth. The child you baptize, if the Lord tarries, the child you baptize this morning may one day be spared, may go to college, may hear professors speaking heresy that are far more intelligent than you could ever convey the truth to your children. They could paint you in a corner, perhaps, in terms of logic and reasoning. How will your child withstand that? All by the grace of God, you say, well, of course. But God could use you. Your walk in the truth can have such a power, a grip on your children, that even though they cannot reason their way out of the dilemma, they will cling to the truth because they've seen the reality and the vitality of Christian truth portrayed in the very picture painted for them through your walk of life. Now expand that to the whole congregation. That's what John is saying to the church, to the elect lady. So walk in the truth that the heretics may be defeated by your very walk, your walk of godliness. You see, John says, these false teachers really oppose the truth. They oppose the doctrines of Christ. And the only way to oppose them is not only to know the truth, but to walk in that truth ourselves. So that's the first thing he tells us when he warns us not to depart from the truth. First thing, verse 7, we need to walk in the truth. Second thing, verse 8, we need to hold on to the truth. Look to yourselves. Take heed, that means. Take heed to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. What does that mean? Well, the things that we have wrought means that the things that they as apostles had wrought. John is speaking about the manner in which they went around and established churches. He's probably writing to a church that he worked in sometime. And he's saying to that church, don't let these false teachers take away all the work we've done. All the things we've wrought in your midst. Just how, you know, Paul did that all the time. He said, I planted the gospel among you Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should leave the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? So John is warning them here. If you turn away from the truth, the pure doctrines of free, sovereign, one-sided, unconditional grace. The doctrines of truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we would say that precious Reformed doctrine that is built four square on Scripture. If you depart from these things, and you can't discern anymore between what is truth and error, then all the work we have wrought will collapse. Be vigilant. Hold on to the truth. Stick close to the Word of God, John would say. And I say that to you, congregation, this morning. We need to stick to the truth. We need to cling to the truth. And we do that by giving ourselves to the preaching and the teaching and the studying of the Word of God. And if we don't do that, and we don't have a clear grasp in our mind and the experience of these truths in our soul, we will only pass on to the next generation, at very best, a dim light. Not a bright light. And dim lights don't have very much power. The other week, at the youth camp, when I walked to the campfire, and the flashlight had a very dim light. I was trying to see my way down the path. Didn't work very well. And there I went. I thought I had a little light. I stepped right into a mud puddle. Because the light wasn't bright enough. That's what John is saying. You're going to step in a lot of mud puddles. You're going to perish. Things are going to go ill for you if you only pass on to your children a dim light. You need bright light. You need the light of the gospel to shine in your mind and in your soul. And you need to let that light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And you see, the problem with so many churches today, congregation, and I don't pass by our own church, but the problem with so many today is that the clear trump of sovereign grace truth and the clear ring of experiential truth worked out in the lives and hearts of the members of that church is lacking. And then the church sends forth only a feeble sound and gives feeble light. So I warn you, I warn myself. Hear the word of God this morning. Take heed to yourselves. Hold on to the shining light of the truths of Scripture and the Reformed faith. And let God's word be a lamp to your feet and a light upon your path. Keep the truth, and the truth will keep you. Abandon the truth, and the truth will abandon you. But then thirdly, John goes on at the end of verse 8 to say, you will receive a full reward. Isn't that a strange word? A reward for keeping the truth? Yes. Not the reward of salvation. Of course, that's merited totally by Christ. But there is a gracious reward that flows forth from loving service and loving proclamation of the truth. The Bible teaches us over and over again, and by the way, Jesus was the greatest teacher of it, that all who value the truth and persistently cling to the truth and are willing to even surrender their lives for the truth will win their full reward. They are the ones who will hear the well done of Jesus. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, on the other hand, those who justify living for themselves and teach false doctrines, they will lose that reward. Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, we've done this, we've done that. I knew you not. Depart from me. Now I know that some people, some of God's people, often have a difficult time with this idea of reward. But remember, it's biblical. And the rewards themselves are given in a spiritual manner. You see, unlike the new birth and unlike salvation, rewards can be lost. A believer can lose these gracious rewards when he backslides, when he doesn't persevere in living a life rooted in truth and exemplified by love. He loses his reward, his internal reward in this life of service, but also rewards, and we don't know how that will go in heaven, but we know in heaven one star will outshine another star in glory. And every man will be judged according to his works. That's what the Bible says. Now, false teachers, this is John's point, false teachers can bring about some loss of reward, even for believers, when they undo the work we have done. And when they discourage us and damage our fellowship. John says, don't let them do that. Keep the love. Keep the service going. Keep the fellowship going. Don't lose your reward. Then fourthly, John goes on to explain in verse 9 why we must continue in the truth. So first he talks about why we must walk in the truth, why we must hold on to the truth, how we will receive a full reward in the truth. And now he talks about why we must continue in the truth. He says, whosoever transgresseth, verse 9, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Son, the Father, and the Son. You see, John is stating categorically here, if you don't continue in the truth, you don't have God. You don't have salvation. You don't belong to God. You're not a true Christian. You have to continue. You have to persevere. And God can give you that persevering grace. So don't be discouraged by discouraging circumstances. Hold on. Persevere in the truth. And then finally, fifthly, John explains why we must not fellowship with those who corrupt the truth. Why we must not fellowship with those who corrupt the truth. Verses 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. What is he saying? Is he saying that anyone who's not a true Christian, you shouldn't let in your house? No. He's saying to offer Christian fellowship to heretics is to confirm them in their heresy. We are not to welcome them into our spiritual fellowship. He's not saying you can't give a cup of tea to a heretic and talk with them and reason with them and try to persuade them of their error. But John speaking, of course, you know, the churches were also houses, so it's not even clear here if he means your individual house or the house of God. That's debated too. But the point is, you don't fellowship, you don't take into your church fellowship, you don't take into your spiritual fellowship, you don't confide in heretics. You don't welcome them into your homes and churches as if they're bosom friends. You don't wish them success in their missions and their endeavors and their deeds because they are involved in the activity of the evil one. So you seek to preserve the truth and you shun spiritual fellowship with those who seek to corrupt the truth. That's what John says. Now, all throughout this letter, let me bring this to a close. All throughout this letter, John is encouraging then his fellow believers to continue walking in love while he continues to exhort them to be discerning in that love. To walk in love according to truth. Truth without love produces harshness, severity. But love without truth leads to a kind of blind sentimentality. So John says, as Paul did in Ephesians 4 verse 15, speak the truth in love. John says, walking in love must never be separated from walking in truth. And so, press on, he says. And then he gives this wonderful example as he closes himself. He says, having many more things I wish to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. You see what he's doing? He's saying, I've got this truth. I want to convey it to you. But I've also got this burning love. And love communicates better face to face. Even though I'm writing the New Testament, I still long for something more. I want to see you. In the original Greek, it's mouth to mouth. We would say eye to eye, but not in a negative way. Face to face. To be with you. To bond with you. To enjoy communion of saints with you. You see, John knows that unknown, unvisited, will ultimately mean unloved. And so he wants to visit with them. He wants to be with them. He wants to share with them. And you see, if you are a professing Christian, you will want to bond with the children of God. You will want to love the truth and fellowship with the saints. But also you will want to bring the truth to those who do not yet know it. So let me close by just saying a word to those who have heard the truth, perhaps all your life, but still don't love the truth. My dear friend, I exhort you to flee from the devil's lies, from all teachings that would teach you that somehow you're going to get to heaven without the truth. You see, Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to heaven without Him. You can't get to heaven by just coming to church, or by coming to the Lord's Supper, or by reaching out a lending hand to a few people, doing a few things. You can only get to heaven by the truth, by being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ from your sins, by knowing the truth and loving the truth and then living out that truth out of love. You cannot face the future without Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's available. He will come. He will convict you by the truth. He will liberate you by the truth. And He will transform you by the truth. Oh, that you would be a truth seeker and a truth lover and a truth liver, and that you would then experience, you will then experience, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."